Hello?
Do you want to die tonight, Cece?
Eat shit and live, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, get a little wet.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Bloodstained, an offshoot of the Vintage Horror Podcast, where we talk about giallos. I don't know. Today we'll be... Oh, I'm Kyle, by the way.
I'm Brady.
And today we'll talk about Naked Girl Murdered in the Park from 1972.
Yeah, what a movie.
Yeah. Just I guess I'll just do a little recap of what the movie is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A private investigator is hired to dig up dirt on a family after a man is found dead shortly after taking out an insurance policy for $1
million. $1 million.
And you know what? That's literally what the movie's about, and that's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. All right, so let's start this off, man. How soon into the movie did you know who the killer was?
When they revealed it at the end.
Really? Yeah.
I had zero fucking idea.
Did you suspect at all? Like, because I gotta admit, like, I started at one point in this movie just not caring and forgetting there was a killer. Like, it goes so long in this movie without a kill.
Yeah, the kills, there's barely any at all.
And I would even argue that there's only one that I think really fits the definition of, like, giallo. Other than that, like, I think this film was definitely more on the mystery side of giallo films. I mean, I know we talk a lot about, like, horror, but, and we've really only done Argento in here, and so his films are definitely more, I mean, he's the GOAT, so his are going to be on a different tier. And I think this really shows, but yeah, I wasn't really enjoying any of the kills. I thought they were all kind of tame, and
I don't even remember them showing a lot of them.
They showed one kill that I remember when, the maid gets killed in the cellar, mm-hmm. and then they find her body. And I thought that was decent, but of course, like, if it's a decent kill in a otherwise subpar movie, I mean, it's going to be the best kill. But anyways, I mean, at the beginning, you know, there's a lot of faces you see, and I didn't really think it was anybody that had been introduced in the first half. I thought it was going to be somebody that we saw when the characters get to the house.
You know, I did suspect Barbara, mm-hmm. her boyfriend, or whatever that guy is.
Farmhand?
Yeah, is that her boyfriend too? I don't even know.
I don't know if that's her boyfriend. I think that's just her hookup.
Oh, well, I thought it was him because he was giving a lot of dirty looks, and I said, I don't even care if this guy. Okay, I believe
so
it.
Good.
I just believe you. You did it, yeah.
There's the one scene where, like, they're riding horses, and he just, like, looks through the clearing, and he's just smoldering at him and, like, staring, and he just smirks. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I thought the reveal at the end, I guess double reveal, was fine. And I had suspected that killer probably after Barbara's boyfriend died.
Which
once
one?
He got taken out.
Because technically there's two.
What's his name?
Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it was him. Honestly, because I just didn't see the motivation, and I guess that's where the twist comes in at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess his dad, or no, his mom was married to the guy who was killed in that tunnel. Is that what the twist is? It's
yeah,
so confusing.
So basically, the beginning
fucking suck, dude.
Yeah. So for the beginning of the movie, it starts, it looks like the middle of World War II Germany, right? And it's, or I guess it's Italy, but this woman is tied up, and her and her son, and this guy in a military uniform is putting a bomb together, and this other girl comes in and asks, you know, what's going on. He ushers her out, sets the bomb off to detonate, and then leaves. And then it looks like he's going to try to frame his wife and kid's murder as like they just got hit in an air raid. Fast forward 30 years, this old man is killed while in a tunnel of death ride. And then he had just signed off on an insurance policy, so the insurance company hires an investigator, Chris, to come in and follow his daughter, because they're like, oh, well, her dad just died, and she's off at these parties, and she's at these bars. He's like, don't you worry about that. I'll go find her.
Can we talk about just the beginning? Like, when they do that kind of shit, like, they open up a movie, and there's this, like, I guess it's an important plot, or part of the plot, like, right in the beginning. Like, I need a few seconds of bullshit in the beginning of my movies just to settle in just a little bit, especially when it's black and white, and I have no fucking context as to what's going on.
Yeah, when I first opened that, I was like, what did he make me watch? But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that that was fast-paced at all, but yeah, definitely starting off with some sort of intricate plot about, like, this guy who you don't know about just, like, putting a bomb together and this woman looking scared. Yeah, I was like, all right, now I got to remember this for the next hour and a half.
Yeah, and especially when it's black and white and then switches to color. Like, as soon as it switches to color, I forget it ever happened.
Yeah.
And I'm used to seeing The Wizard of Oz, but...
Is that black? Yeah, I guess that is black and white in the beginning.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't seen that forever. I used to be so scared of that movie.
What?
I was so scared of that movie, like, as a kid. The Witch, but I was actually afraid of the lion. The Cowardly Lion scared the crap out of me every time they go in the woods and you just hear the roars.
Oh, gotcha. When he first shows up?
Yeah, and then like scary. When he's like, put him up. I was like, oh, okay, I can get down with this guy.
You see how like willing we are to just jump into a different movie just because like,
this one sucks.
Yeah.
Who picked this fucking movie, Kyle?
But yeah, so Alfonso Brescia, that's who directed this. And I want to, okay, I don't know if we want to just spoil it. I would overall say this movie isn't very good in turn, or it's not one of the better giallo. And I would have to say it's because he's not a giallo director.
Yeah.
He did have a very extensive career, 51 movies, or at least projects. I'm pretty sure most of those are movies, but I didn't recognize anything else on this list. I mean, no. He's Italian, so that, you know, is part of it. But I, you know, that could be why this is on the lamer side.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely shows. He, you know, it says he did War of the Robots, which I've never seen, and then The Beast in Space, which again I've never seen. But I guess those are like his two most known works. I think it's such a slow burn, but it's like, if you're going to do a slow burn, the burn has to pay off. And I just don't think it does here. And I think it has primarily to do with his direction. Cause if you take this plot and just whittle it back to that, the plot, you know, murdered millionaire, insurance investigators looking into the seedy family drama dynamics, whatnot, and then the twist at the end. Like, that could have been done so well, but I think here it falls flat.
Yeah. I think that one of the weirder aspects, I mean, I guess a big cue as to who the killer was should have been the fact that Chris even gets involved with, like, Catherine at all in this movie.
And then Barbara.
Well,
and then the mom.
I'm gonna tell you something, after what he saw, I wasn't blaming any of that on him.
I was like, how many people is he going to fuck in the same family?
You know what? I respect it, though.
I mean, he did his work, you know? He definitely dug in deep. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. So the director has kind of already thrown me off, but then you've got, I mean, the cast didn't seem like they were all that relevant either. I mean, what did you find? The guy who played Chris, what is that, Robert Hoffman?
Yeah, I would assume that most of these people are more old-timey, like, stage actors. Just like I didn't go too deep into all of their credits because they're Italian actors, and I honestly, none of these people looked familiar to me, or sat like their names didn't sound familiar. But they all seem like old-timey, just, I should stop saying old-timey, but just stage actors. Like, it doesn't seem like they're very equipped for, like, movies.
Yeah, well, I mean, this, you got, I mean, I guess this one did come out early 70s. So you didn't really have a lot going on there. But Robert Hoffman, man, I mean, as your lead, I didn't think he had much charisma. And maybe that could have been because of the dubbing. But he's an English actor, right? So I thought...
I did notice when he said things, and like he said his lines, that they were in English, just dubbed over, but...
Yeah. I mean, he had been in a couple giallos at that point and then kept going on. So I guess they saw something they liked. He was in A Black Veil for Lisa, Spasmo. I don't think he was great, and I don't think he was anything to write home about. And then, Irina Dernick? Demick, is that her name?
Irina Demick, yeah.
Yeah.
As Magda, the mother.
Yeah. I thought she was fine. I think, again, over the top character. When she's talking to that portrait, too. Like, I'm just
I feel like she fit into the giallo style more than most of the other people. I felt like her and Pilar Velasquez or whatever. I feel like that kind of acting that they put forth, even though she just like Catherine just kept passing out. That's what her role is in the movie. It shouldn't even be like Catherine. She should just be titled as like lady who passes out. But
oh my god,
like their acting is so over the top that I feel like it fits into these movies, where, like you said, Robert Hoffman as Chris, like I feel like he is very flat, and I don't know, not that he didn't seem into it, but I don't know, man. That's why I think they were more like stage actors, or hit him at least. Like I feel like he wasn't a great fit for this, honestly.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't know how much is lost on dubbing. That's...
I'm sure some of it, but I know there are movies that we've seen and that we're going to watch on here that you can attribute some flaws and flatness to dubbing, but I don't think that was the issue here. I think this movie just was...
flat overall.
A bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have some likable characters like Magda, Barbara, I think... what was the boyfriend's name? That wasn't Gunther, right?
I don't even have the boyfriend on here. I can look that up real quick. But Gunther is... I don't know if it was Gunther or somebody else, but I had recognized one of their names from another movie. I don't know if I ever told you about the Death Walks on High Heels and Death Walks
You told me about it.
At Midnight. One of these guys that was in this was in one of those. And I think it might have been Gunther.
Also, let's talk about real quick how Catherine's dad is found murdered at an amusement park, right?
Yes.
And then the day after Chris meets her, he takes her on a date to an amusement park.
Well, like, in his defense, she didn't seem very bothered by it, so.
I mean, I guess so. She was out drinking and everything, but I saw that and I was like, wait a minute. Is he taking her to the same amusement park that her dad just got found murdered at?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know who Gunther is because I don't see a fucking picture for him.
Also, there's not a lot online to reference for this movie. And maybe that should have been our sign.
Well,
also, if you look up naked girl murdered in a park, make sure you put naked girl murdered in a park, because I accidentally looked up naked girl in park and I got a lot of stuff that I was not looking for. Stuff I didn't mind, but stuff I wasn't looking for.
You literally have to put naked girl murdered in the park. If you skip any words in there, if you just put like
naked girl murdered, you don't want to see that.
Yeah. Or murdered in park. I don't know.
Yeah. So Gunther is the, he's listed as the caretaker. I guess he's like the caretaker/boyfriend/farmhand. He is Barbara's boyfriend, love interest, guy fuck, yeah. She fucks on the hay. He's got a fucking big ass chest, man. That scene when they're in the hay, I was like, whose fucking chest is bigger? His or Barbara's? And I think his was, man.
I don't know about that. Barbara.
I mean, she was fine. And I'm not saying Gunther was fine, but I'm just saying he had a big ass chest. Anyways.
I can't find anything about any of these fucking people.
We promise we've done our research, but there's not a lot of research to do. No, for this movie.
Like, honestly, I tried staying up. Dude, okay. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I watched this movie, I like had to fight off sleep like multiple times. It's that slow. Usually I'm pretty good with that kind of stuff. Especially if it's the first time watching a movie. This I like had to fight off sleep. I don't know. I kind of want to just jump into like the fact that it has a 5.4 on IMDb and a 2.8 on Letterboxd. Like, it's not even on Rotten Tomatoes. To me, those are way too high.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I don't know why it gets this. I couldn't tell you, man. I was looking at Letterboxd reviews too, and people, the reviews are all surrounded by like this air of, oh, it was fine. Very slow burn, no payoff. Chris was fine, but nobody's in there like, man, this is a fucking great ass movie and gonna watch it again. Most of them are like, I will never watch this again.
Yeah.
And then to get those high ratings, there's gotta be something going on.
Yeah, I'm looking. Okay, the guy who plays Gunther, he's also in the New York Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you who he actually plays in that, but I
did you know he was supposed to be mute in this movie?
Like, not able to talk?
Yeah.
Nope.
I didn't pick up on that either, but I guess he never talks.
That would make sense because the way he gives all like the smoldering looks and he doesn't say anything. Yeah. So.
Well, now I feel kind of bad. I feel like I discriminated against somebody who can't talk.
Don't, because I'm pretty sure he raped Barbara at that one part. So
I think that was just some intense play. Yeah.
So Gunther, I don't want to spoil it, but just I think I know. No, it's for another movie. I think I know exactly who Gunther plays in the New York Ripper. Mm. So I've seen him in that. So he's actually in a few giallo, because he's in, of course, Naked Girl, Murdered in the Park. He's also.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, right? I don't even know the actor's name, but I'm just going to keep referring to him as Gunther.
Howard Ross.
The Pajama Girl Case, he's in that. That's another giallo. I don't know. It's really hard to talk about this movie and make it sound exciting. I'm not going
to
lie. Like,
yeah, it's hard to get excited about this. I don't know. I mean, if we're still sticking with the cast, you know, Magda, played by Irina Demick, she was in The Longest Day. Did you ever see that? I don't know if you were big on war movies growing up. My family was big on like 50s, 60s war movies, like John Wayne stuff. So The Longest Day was the John Wayne movie about D-Day, which was decent. Catherine's sister, Barbara, Patricia Auditore, played in Torso, which is pretty well known, I'd say.
Yeah.
Bruno, one of the other housekeepers, played in Seven Deaths in the Cat's Eye, which I've never seen. I don't know if you've seen.
No, I've heard of that, and I think I downloaded it, but I've never watched it. You know,
then there's the maid Sybil, played by Maria Vico, and she played in 99 Women. And then the inspector who comes in at the end, Huber, with the cane, played by Adolfo Celli, is in Who Saw Her Die.
I've heard of that too.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
So while we're on the topics of giallo, and just talking about a bunch of mentioned a bunch of different movies. So I'm pretty sure that's one of the movies that Arrow has put out, and it's by the time this is out, that the sale is going to be over because it's a like Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of sale. But a lot of Arrow Video stuff is on sale right now, up to like 65% off or something like that. So like $40 movies, because usually they're like $35 to $40 somewhere around there, are pretty much all $15 right now.
Yeah, they have some really good sales.
Yeah, so I mean, it's worth checking that out. So, because some of these are hard to find online, I mean, stream. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't really have much to say about this movie. Do you want to talk about? Oh, what?
I was just gonna ask. Did you have a favorite character? Barbara.
No, I think Catherine. Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a couple times before she actually gets naked when she's like in that like
the pre-naked phase.
Yeah, the like see-through like, clothes dress face. Thing.
Yeah.
And you can see her dark nipples through the dress.
I'm like, oh, right. Ooh. Wow.
I'm like, man, this is going to be good when this reveals.
I liked her in the first half of the movie, and then in the second half, she's asleep for the whole fucking thing. So.
Yeah, I don't understand. But honestly, like, none of these... If I had to honestly pick, like, my favorite character that did the best, it'd probably be the mom, Magda. I think that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Magda.
Yeah, I'd agree. Because, it would have to come down to either her or Chris, and I really didn't like Chris in this.
No.
And I get that he's supposed to be... I mean, at the end, I guess that's supposed to make sense, but... Yeah, I think, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't, it feels like everything they tried to do to make this a giallo did not pay off. So like you were talking about, when it's Gunther and Barbara in the barn, it looks like it's a rape.
Yeah.
It looks like Chris is about to just watch her get raped, but then it turns consensual, and then they just start, like, having sex.
And Chris is watching, he's like, fuck, I'm about to do that shit too. I'm about to go get some of that.
The movie says there's 7 murders in this film, and I don't remember that many. Do you?
Okay. Do they count the people who blew up in the beginning?
Well, only one died.
So, do they count that?
Because I guess so.
Because there's the dad in the beginning. He's what sets this whole thing off. Mm-hmm. Barbara dies, but I don't think the Gunther does, right?
No, he goes to jail. But Bruno dies.
The butler,
no, no,
right?
No, no. Sybil dies, not Bruno.
Sybil. Yeah, yeah. The maid. She dies. Magda dies. Does Chris die?
Yeah, Chris gets shot in the head at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And then
spoiler alert.
His wife? Mm-hmm. Sister, is that who she is? Sister?
His wife? Yeah.
Wife? Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Wife. So that's 6. So maybe that other person who blows up, maybe they consider that a kill? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I just... And almost all of them are off screen.
Yeah.
Except, like I said, for Sybil's death with the razor in the basement. Sounds like a playing Clue. Sybil in the basement with the razor.
When you, like, look up the cast for this, they only list 13 people. And like, 4 or 5 of them say uncredited. That's how, like, small this cast is. So I can't... They have to include that person who blows up in the bomb in the beginning.
Yeah.
And even... So I kind of was tired when I got to the end of this. But it's
because
still,
of the movie?
Yes. I mean, pretty much, yeah. It wasn't any crazy time I was up. It was around midnight when I finished it, so... that's pretty normal for me.
Yeah. I don't know about you, man. I know usually we go like scene by scene in this movie. I really don't think we have to.
No, I don't think we can.
I think that's just a bore. The end of the... So we can just go into the reveal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So throughout the movie, Magda is usually drunk, the mom, and she is always looking at the portrait of her now deceased husband. And she's talking to him, talking to herself, making it seem like he's there and she's talking. Well, in the final act, the husband appears, this old man with a cane, and walks after her.
Is that the guy that you see several times? No, right? That's one of the people from the insurance company that you see several times walking.
Yeah. So you see the second investigator who came on after Chris.
Gotcha.
Walking around.
Confusing, dude.
So then there's this old guy with a cane that looks like Colonel Sanders, and he is following following Magda. She's running through the house screaming about all the things that she did. She thinks it's her husband. She's like, no, you know, I took care of our sick daughter for her whole life, and I didn't kill those people, you did. And then they get to the roof, and she falls off the roof. And then there's the big reveal where
he does the old Dewey and pulls off his mustache. Our Doofy, I mean.
The wig comes off, the mustache comes off, the beard comes off, and you find out it's Chris in disguise as Johann Whataburger.
Who is his father.
Who is the father. And then Chris goes to the portrait and starts giving us this huge backstory about how he was the kid at the beginning tied up with the bomb. He survived. His mom didn't. he spent 30 years tracking down his dad, confronted his dad, got his dad to take out the life insurance policy, but then killed him anyways because he's a Nazi and he should have been put to death for his war crimes. So you're kind of like watching this like, okay, yeah, I can agree with that, but like, you're also supposed to be the bad guy, so I don't really know what's going on here.
Did he kill him or did Kirsty, his wife?
Well, you don't know that now.
Gotcha.
Because I would also say that I still don't think that you do. No, you do find that Kirsty killed him. Because yeah. When they're in the tunnel again, he gets killed the same way.
Right.
He's like, well, you know, I didn't kill anybody. You did. Because
I think
the whole...
he did kill people, though.
Well, yeah. Well, Chris, his defense is that his hands are clean. So he didn't kill Barbara after they had sex because... I think... I mean, who killed her? I'm pretty sure that...
Dude, I thought it was Chris, honestly.
I think it was Gunther, though. Because then Gunther...
I know.
But then why would Gunther be trying to kill Chris?
I don't
know. This fucking movie. But anyways... So
Gunther gets arrested for that murder, though, right?
Yeah, because he tries to kill Chris.
Chris, gotcha, yeah.
And then Chris knocks him out. And then because Gunther can't speak... He just tells the story, and he's like, oh, yeah, like, he must have been trying to kill me because he saw me sleeping with Barbara, and then Barbara ended up dead. And also, let's switch gears for a second. The movie is called Naked Girl Murdered in the Park, or Killed in the Park, right?
Yeah, it could be either one, yeah.
That scene does not happen until over the halfway point of this movie.
Yeah, I think it's like 50 or 55 minutes in.
Yeah. And so the whole time I'm waiting for it, and I'm like, this should have been called, like, Old Man Killed on a Joyride. Like,
that would have been cool, too.
That would have been cool.
It'd probably draw in less people.
Yeah, well, you know, it probably would have kept us. And then Chris reveals that a waitress that he had talked to in the movie earlier with Catherine is actually his accomplice. And they're on the same ride that Johan was killed on. And they're, again, giving us a lot of backstory. And Chris is saying, all right, here's your money. I'm going to go this way. You're going to go that way. And she's not about that. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, I need more. Like, you're lowballing me. And then I guess she kills him. I don't hear anything. I hear the ride. But then you see just kind of like his lifeless arm. And then she's getting chased by the cops. And then runs to her boyfriend.
So when they first showed her at the beginning of the movie, I thought she was going to be a more important character than she, like, they, you know, obviously made her in the beginning as just like a waitress or whatever, because she kind of gives Chris that look and Chris gives her a look.
Well, he's given a lot of people looks, you know?
Yeah, but when he's with, I think he's with Catherine there, right?
Yeah, when she goes, oh, Chris, what are you doing here? And he's like, on a business thing. He's like, and she's like, oh, with the beautiful woman. There's that weird look where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like, does he do this a lot? But then, like, then she just, like, disappears, and I forgot she even existed.
Yeah. I guess that's what they were trying to do. But, again, like, these movies, man, like, especially when you have so much going on with the plot that doesn't add up, like, if you're going to have a character that important to the end result, like, you still have to keep them there a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I do think, like, I did suspect her a little bit because in the scene where Catherine is at home and she keeps getting the phone calls, which also reminded me of Scream and Black Christmas, I, like, once that, the figure, like, drops onto the back patio, the silhouette looked like a woman.
Yeah.
So the whole movie, I was like, well, it's got to be, like, one of the girls. And so I thought it was the waitress, and then because she disappeared for so long, I was like, no, it can't be. So then I thought it was her sister, because I didn't think the mom would be able to be sober long enough to, like, do that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I was like, well, maybe it's the sister, but then the sister got killed, and I was like, all right, I don't know who this fucking is. But I still think it could have been Kirsty then.
So, all right, let's talk about those phone calls, too, because it sounds like a dude's voice, though, that calls every time, right?
Yeah, but then you find out that it's a recording.
Oh, yeah, you're right, dude. See, like, so much of this, like,
it just went, you're right, like, you're right. There's so much, yeah. So,
but
I think...
Why would they have a recording of somebody being like, I'm gonna kill you, or whatever the fuck it was saying to him? Like, what?
Well, I think it was to throw her off from Chris. So, Chris's main objective was to get close to her, make her feel protected, and then have her bring him back to her family's house so that he could take his revenge out on everyone.
And his plan is not just revenge, it's to get the $1 million, right?
Well, at the end, he says, I don't even want the money. But then he gives, what's her name, money? His wife, girlfriend. He's talking to the portrait. He's like, yeah, like, don't really want it anyways. My payment is killing you, Dad, and making sure that you pay for your crimes. And then it's so fucking out there. Because what else was his wife doing in those scenes? Like, how else was she an accomplice? So she killed the father.
Yeah, I don't even remember his fucking name, but yeah.
Johan, yeah.
Johan, yes. Besides that, I don't know.
And then she obviously hits the recording when Chris is with Catherine. Because remember, they're like, oh, Catherine, there's a phone call. And she goes, is it a man? They're like, no, it's a woman. And then they give her the phone, and then the woman hits the recording.
Yeah, I remember that. So, I know online, whenever you look up the plots, it says she was being blackmailed. I don't remember what she was being blackmailed for.
Yeah, that didn't make much sense to me either. Because they're like, I know who killed your father. And I think you do too, Catherine. And it's like, well, is Catherine behind this?
But then she's not.
Or maybe she was. And we just don't know. Again, no payoff. Zero payoff.
Yes. And I get they tried to make some grandiose like twist at the end. And I'm not going to lie, I'd never guessed it. Because how the fuck could you? But
right. Yeah, that's the thing, though. Like, there's a difference between leaving little for a viewer to see, to make up, but like you're still having concrete things there, and I just don't think this movie did. Like, I don't know. I guess the director, if he was here to defend himself, he could be like, oh no, I left, you know, this plot point or that look between them at the restaurant. Like, you know, of course they had to be together. But I just think it's too subtle, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say right now, this movie doesn't work. Okay.
No. Do you want to just rate it?
Yeah, let's just fucking rate this movie.
I'm making it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I got to go 1.5 out of 5. Like, yeah. I will say I liked the score. I thought the score was really good. Cinematography, I mean, I think for the time, some beautiful location shots, especially when they get to the family estate.
Yeah, the estate is, like, that whole house, the yard, everything is really nice.
I do also like when Catherine is at her apartment before they go, and there's the scene where like the suspected killer or the stalker is coming up the stairs. Mm-hmm. And, like, you see the feet. I thought that was good when they drop down onto the back patio. I thought that was really good. So that stuff kind of makes those parts more enjoyable, but everything else is so fucked up in this movie that I started not caring about the music, and I started not caring about what it looks like, because all I could think about was, like, what the fuck is going on here? So it's got to be a 1.5 for me. I don't think I will ever watch this movie again. If somebody wanted to ask me, like, what's a fun, lesser-known giallo to watch, I would not recommend this. Like, I don't think it does the genre justice, and like you said, it could have been because the director is not a giallo filmmaker. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it, man. I don't think it was a good movie.
Agreed. You know me. I love all the nudity I can get. Mm. And there's a bunch in here, but it doesn't save this movie.
Wow. That should be the tagline for this movie. The nudity does not save it.
Yep. And like at all. Honestly. The only reason like I give it a 2, like, because I thought about doing 3 and I'm like, I can't do that. Like I try to be as fair as possible. Especially with like these, because I know they're not ever going to be like great movies.
Yeah.
But like this is, I don't think I would ever rewatch it either. There's almost nothing redeeming to it.
Yeah. And there's a difference between being like quote unquote shitty B movie and just being a bad movie. And I think that unfortunately, even though it's got a great title, this one just falls into that category.
It kind of blows my mind that they ever did like a Blu-ray release of this.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if maybe it had some good success back then. I mean, I guess this was pre-Argento, right? 1972?
I don't know. When was it? I mean, the heyday for giallos was supposed to be in the 70s.
Or maybe we're just so...
American?
American, yeah. Well, Suspiria came out in the late 70s, I think. So this one would have been before Suspiria. I think Suspiria is, what, 77, 78?
By then, he was already making stuff, and he left to do Suspiria and came back. So, yeah, I don't know.
The Bird with the Crystal plumage was 1970, so...
Yeah.
Anyways, if you guys want to watch this movie, go for it.
No. Don't even.
Good luck finding it. Unless you go, like Kyle said, to Arrow Video.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Good luck.
Yeah, if you want to see the boobs in it, just Google it. Just don't even fucking watch it.
It's a snooze fest, that's for sure.
I feel bad that I picked it.
I don't feel bad, man. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of these.
The reason I feel bad is because there's almost nothing to fucking say about this movie. And it's like, how do we talk? Like, we chose it, we watched it, we got to review it, but there's nothing to review. It has almost nothing in this fucking movie.
Yeah. It's more of
besides
a
family drama. Besides the convoluted plot, which also, like, to a degree, doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, you know, it's one for the books that we can say, you know, hey, we put in our work. We're true giallo film critics because we watched this movie. So, you know, they can't take that away from us.
I think they can.
Speaking of giallos, though, since we're on that podcast, I had a chance to go watch Last Night in Soho. Did you watch that yet?
No, I'm a bad guy. I downloaded it. I put it on the computer. I just never got a chance.
Well, like the week after... It was, you know how like Amazon Prime will do the rent new releases early. So they had it, I guess there was a glitch or something, but it was free to rent. And so I was like, hell yeah. I didn't watch it. I did a Kyle. I rented it for free and didn't watch it.
Yeah, that's what I got it for free too. I rented it for free permanently.
Yeah. But I saw it in theaters and I loved it, man. I thought, I think this one captured the slow burn aspect very well, and I don't think it's a true giallo. I think it's kind of like Malignant, where there are very heavy giallo themes in it, like the score and the cinematography, the colors, some of the kills, like the one main kill in the movie is like really good. It reminded me of Barb's death in Black Christmas, which is great.
Yeah, is there a big twist? Because looking at the trailer, it looks like you know who the killer is, so it's like, why am I gonna watch this? This can't be very giallo-esque.
That's what I thought too going into it, and I know we talk about it, I don't know if we mention a lot on the podcast, the vintage horror, but I think trailers give way too much away lately, and it almost turns me off for movies. I know like Mark doesn't want to watch any of the Scream 5 trailers and really like go into it because he doesn't want anything spoiled, and I get that. That's a really good point and good argument. This movie has such a good twist at the end that in the theater I was like, no fucking way. And so I think it's worth it, and performances are great. I love Edgar Wright, I love Shaun of the Dead, so
I kind of wish I watched it now so we had something else to talk about here.
We could have just been like, all right, guys, this movie sucked, so we're going to talk about Last Night in Soho.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to, I don't know. Did you pick another movie? Because I have a couple lined up for the next one.
Because I picked this, I thought you'd be picking the next one, honestly.
Okay, you just choose now to tell me.
You see, I got a couple lined up. All right, you can choose.
So... It's actually a movie that came up in this episode. I am picking The New York Ripper.
Oh, sick.
By Lucio Fulci.
Fulci's a good one.
The description that I have here is, if you carry the idea that all giallos are grimy, gross, and inherently distasteful, you can probably attribute that thought to this Lucio Fulci film. So...
I've definitely told you about one scene in this movie.
Yeah.
I guess we don't have to talk about it right now, but yeah, you know what? I am down to watch this again.
Cool. Well, so that's going to be the next one, New York Ripper. You know, if the one fan who listens to this episode likes this movie, you know, please let us know.
Yeah. I mean, because this is on the same feed as Vintage Horror, feel free to, you know, leave us rates reviews on Apple Podcasts. That would be great. If you don't have Apple Podcasts, but you'd still like to interact with us, you can either email us, find us on Instagram, Twitter. Don't really tweet ever. But the biggest thing I want people to do is to head over to anchor.fm/vintagehorrorpodcast and leave us a message. I'm pretty sure you don't need to make an account, but I could be wrong about that. Either way, you just click on the message thing and you can leave us a little voice message. And we can play it on the podcast. And you can tell us how fucking shitty this movie is. That's what I want somebody to do. Let me know how much you hate this movie if you've fucking seen it.
Or if even if you haven't seen it and you just heard us talk about how much we hate it and it put up some visceral rage in you that you hadn't felt before, please let us know.
Or you could just tell me I got shit in my pants. You could do that too. I'll listen to that. All right, so the New York Ripper, anything else?
No, that's it. Don't watch this fucking movie.
All right, did we come up with a sign-off? Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Yeah.